Hallelujah. Praise God. Please take your seats. And if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we will start with verse number 24, please. 1 Corinthians 9. 24. I want to speak to you this morning about the race we run. The race we run. It says here, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? He says here, run in such a way that you may win. Run in such a way that you may win. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, run. In such a way that you may win. Now, how many of you know there's all kinds of races? So what sort of race is it? Huh? Can you imagine that if you prepare for this race, like Usain Bolt, and you're looking at your personal best, you know, and you get down to where I got somewhere like, I don't know, I could do 100 meters in about 12 and a half seconds at my optimum. And you see, but if, let's supposing that I'm practicing for my personal best, and then it ends up being like Ibby's favorite race, the egg and spoon. Do you remember the egg and spoon race at school? Well, can you imagine if I'm practicing sprint and they go bang, and I'm tearing off down the track, and I reach the end, I say, oh, praise God, I've won. And they say, well, where's your egg? I've got to go back to the beginning, right? Or it might be like Pastor Temmie's favorite race, the sack race. Huh? There's all different kinds of races. Can you imagine? I line myself up and I think, you know what? I'm going to do this. I've got a great PB. I'm going to run this race like crazy. And then I go to the starting line and the gun goes off and I'm legging it down the track. And the next thing I realize, everyone else is on a horse. I'm going to look like a stooge. Right? So we've got to know what kind of race are we running. Is it a sprint? Is it a 200 meters? Is it a four? Any athletes in the house? Yemi. Put that hand. Oh, Jesus, what's going on today? You see, this is what God is saying. He's saying when we give our life to Christ, God is saying, right, okay, I'm putting you in a race. Okay, we've got to know what kind of race that we're running. If we're running the wrong kind of race, then how can we get the prize? Amen. That's the first thing. How many kinds of race are there? Wow. All sorts of stuff. Can you imagine? You get to the starting line and you've got yourself the best racehorse going. And the gun goes off. There's a guy with the flag. The flag goes down. You tear off up the track in your horse. And the next thing you hear, and everyone else is in Formula One. Huh? Do you get the point? So we must know, what sort of race is it? What kind of equipment do I need? Now, the Bible says, thank God that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but we got to know what kind of equipment it is. What do I need to get through this race? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're in it for the long haul. You're in it to win it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think from everything that I've seen in things that I've been through in life, that this kind of race we run is a marathon. Amen. It's for the long haul. It can't just be something that we kind of dash and then like by 100 yards, by 200 yards, you're out of breath. It's unfair on us, right? We've got to know what kind of race it is. And I see it, what I've experienced in my own life, I see it as a marathon. But then you see, it's not just a straight marathon, is it? Because there's things in the way called hurdles. Now, if you are an athlete and you are giving somebody a type of race to run, and it's a marathon race, and then there's hurdles as well, you are going to need a certain ingredient called endurance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Anyone need endurance? That ability to run for the long haul, to run, and keep on running. This is kind of like, what would we call it? Like a Forrest Gump kind of race. Do you remember Forrest Gump? Run, Forrest! And then he reaches the end of the thing and he just keeps on running. You see, I think there's something about God in that for us that he just wants us to keep on running. Keep on keeping on. Keep on going. Keep on trucking. Keep on moving. That there's no such thing in our minds as stopping. There's no such thing in our minds as getting comfortable. You read about everybody in the Bible who got comfortable. They never achieved their destiny. What a pity. Even our father, Abraham's father, you read his story. It's quite obvious from what Stephen says in the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that what was going to be Abraham's destiny was actually his father's. Isn't that interesting? But his father came and settled in a place northeast of the promised land and just basically stayed there in the wilderness of Paran. And then God spoke to Abraham, picked up the baton exactly like this, if I can use this as a baton. Is this yours? It's not. She stole this even, imagine. Now, and he takes the baton and he says, your father got so far, but now the baton is yours. Take the baton and start running with it. Isn't that good? And he heard the destiny of God in his life and he picked up that baton and he went forward and the next stop was the promise of God. A father of many nations have I made you. Before whom he believed, even he who quickens the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. And the Bible says, in hope he endured against hope. So in other words, hope wasn't even a matter of fuel for this guy's destiny. He reached the end of natural hope, and then something on the inside kicked him and pushed him. You ever feel like that with God? God is saying, you know what? Keep up, keep going. The hurdles of life, the storms of life. Wow. How many hurdles? How many setbacks? How many things that you have to endure to push through? And the Bible says you have need of endurance. Wow, there's some things in life, particularly in Christ, that you just have to stick your helmet down, put your armor on, and just keep pushing forward. It's like American football, where you've got all that armory and you've got that readiness to go, and you know the only way that you can go is forward. There's no such thing as turning back. You've got to push through and break on through to the other side. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to put into you today a resolve. There's a prize to win. Look what he says. He says, but only one receives the prize. He says, run in such a way that you may win. So it's a marathon race with hurdles. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then, you know, I was looking at the kind of hurdles you face in life, you know, they have different kind of magnitudes. You think about what you're going through right now and how insurmountable it may seem. Particularly if you've got things like challenges at work, challenges in your family, challenges in your relationships, challenges in your finances, challenges in your physical body or in your emotions or anything like that. You know, the devil can somehow convince us that, you know, we're the only ones who's gone through such a thing and woe is me. And like, you know, we get into this kind of spin. particularly, you know, when I used to work at for one of the big four banks, I was a real stress animal. I was a stress junkie, and if I wasn't stressed out, something wasn't right. And it became almost like a way of life for me, that all I would talk about was being under pressure, and the pressure of this, and the pressure of that, and the pressure of the other, and the stress of this, and that. Sound familiar? Anyone else like that? And work pressure, coming down on me, crushing me, to the extent that I thought that I was the only one going through stuff that I was going through. And then I'd sit with people, you know, I'd meet people for coffee or whatever from a pastoral point of view, and find out what they were going through was 10 times worse. And I would come out of those meetings thinking, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for what you've given me. I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Lord God, give me a heart of gratitude. Restore me to that grateful person that I once was. It's amazing how, you know, one of the greatest things that God ever did in my life was after I got saved. And I went to live in Ireland, and I had nothing, and I was really intensely happy. It was me and the Lord Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters over there, and I was so happy. I was just, I didn't have a care in the world. Stone broke. I had £1.20 at the end of each week to make ends meet. That was it. After my £1.99 sausages, my £1.99 burgers, they were called value burgers. Because the only meat that was in there was called value. I mean, that's all the questions you'd ask. You'd look on the packet for the ingredients, and it was like, I don't know, I don't even know what they would call it. Now, this was before. Now, you can go to, like, you know, some of the discount stores, and you can get decent burgers and stuff for that. Back, oh, really? Okay, forget it. Okay. I saw them on sale in one of them for like £1.99. I thought, hey, Zilla, praise God. But, you know, just having that remembering that time where I had nothing except my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Bible, and a grateful heart. I can remember those days. And as I was getting more stressed and more busy, you know, there was a time where I was working full-time for the bank. I was in ministry, basically full-time as well. I was engaged to be married. And, you know, those of you who are engaged with wedding preparation and all that kind of stuff, it's a stressful time, isn't it? Very stressful time. And I was doing all three at once, and just like really kind of like doing my very best to get through. And somehow I got through. And I'm just so grateful that God was in control. And that's one thing we've got to remember in this race, is that it doesn't matter the hurdle that you come across. God is doing something. Can you say amen? Amen? It's really, really important to remember. Really important to remember that in the race, God is in control. Why is he in control? I put him there. My faith is in you, Lord. I'll never forget in the early days of Harvest, you know, I mean, some of our leaders, they went through stuff with us. We were accused of all sorts of stuff in the early days of Harvest. Do you remember that, Temi? And just all manner of just weird nonsense, stuff that didn't make sense in the natural, but we you know, we were connected to another church at the time. They were bringing accusations against us through that church to us. It was like, it was horrible. It was like, God, where's this come from? We didn't sow for this. And even then, God told me, shut your mouth. Do not defend yourself. I'm going to defend you. And in 10 days, that accusation was broken, and the person who brought it against them was not allowed back in that ministry. And that was just, why? Because I followed the voice of God. Accusation. Now, you think about it, right? I gave up a full-time job, earning great salary, company car, brand new company car, an Astra Sport, beautiful thing, straight out of the garage. And when I gave him my notice at the bank to go full-time in ministry, I had to borrow a Mark IV Cortina, and the key was a kitchen knife. I mean, that's how downhill I went fast, starting at 0-20. But God was there. Do you see what I'm saying? In this race, as you're running, and have anyone here ever done a marathon? Wow, put your hands up high. I want to say, wow, like a proper marathon. 26.2 miles. Some hands have dropped. Wow, I am so proud of you. But they say, you know, they say that you hit this thing called the wall. Has anyone ever hit the wall? And it's like where you, Yemi, your hand's gone down, man. You know, you're chugging and running along so far. And it's like you just feel like you've come to the end of yourself. And then suddenly you get this burst of new energy to press through. And they say that once you've gone there, it's like it's amazing. It's like the second wind, and you can push right through to the end, and you could probably go even further. Well, sometimes in Christ it's like that, isn't it? Those of you that have been through, you think about how much in your life is for the long haul, right? The family relationships you've got, they're for the long haul. Your marriage is for the long haul. I don't know a single marriage that hasn't hit a wall at some stage or other. But it's what you do when you hit those walls that cause you to get on to the next level. Hallelujah. Thank God for the next level. May God blow fresh wind into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Setbacks, hurdles, accusations. And then in the year 2000, this wasn't bad enough. In the year 2000, our daughter suddenly died. Our firstborn daughter died. Cold, dead. Monday, she's up running around. Wednesday morning, dead. Mortuary. It's like, wow, where did that happen? Thanks, God. Do you know what I mean? It's like running, pushing. And then like not just a setback, not just a hurdle, but like a cliff edge. And suddenly you're off the cliff and you'll fall into the ground at 100 miles an hour. That's no joke. We tried to push Ibby off. You know, in Nazareth, you know, the Bible says there was a synagogue in Nazareth. And then Jesus read from the scroll, and he said, you know, this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. And the Bible says they took him out to the clifftop to throw him off. We wanted to see what Ibby would do, but she wouldn't volunteer. So, but you know, that was like falling off a clifftop. Absolutely. But those who prayed, you see, all the way along through this thing, we were sowing seeds of kindness. We were sowing seeds of love. We were sowing seeds of forgiveness.
No.
We were sowing seeds of just, you know, of love, of the love of God into people's lives. And at that point in time, it's like on the way down off that cliff edge, suddenly our friends, our family, our people, our congregation, our fellowship, they just like literally just gathered to us and lifted us back off that cliff edge. And I thought, wow, you know what, God, you were even in control of that thing. Such a thing that, you know, they say, oh, you'll never recover from the death of a child. Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. There's nothing that God cannot heal. And in fact, Healed for Life came out of that. That was the birthplace of the ministry called Healed for Life. Yeah. So that's the thing. We've got to know God is in control. Father, you are in control. Lord God, of what's going on in my life, you are in control because I put you there. And no devil in hell can take that away from us in the mighty name of Jesus. And so we just kept on running. And that's the thing. You see, God, he's got that ability. And I don't even know how he does it. It's beyond the realm of physics. It's beyond the realm of the natural. The supernatural power of God to sustain us in this race is extraordinary. Amen. It's mind-blowing. It's life-changing, and it's destiny-shaping. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Really quickly, number two, I want to look at the next verse. Verse number 25. It says, "And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable prize, but we an imperishable prize. Praise God. You see, turn to your neighbor and tell them, this is the bit that hurts. Have you noticed how comfort-seeking human beings are? We don't like going to the gym. Thank God. There's a few of us. You see, you can train your physical body, that then your physical body will actually change and draw you to the gym. But there's that painful breakthrough point, that bit where it's raining outside, it's cold, you might have to get public transport. It's like, you know, everything is against you. It's what you do then. Do you settle back into your sedentariness, or do you push in against that, what is it called? What would it be called? Complacency? Sedentariness? I don't know. I failed. I didn't even show up for English. But, you know... that thing, what do they call that? That stasis. Stasis, is that a good word? Some of my doctors are nodding as if to say, yeah, just get on with it. lethargy. Yeah, all that kind of, what do you call it? The thing that's against discipline. That kind of blobby nature. Do you know what I mean? Passivity, that's a good word. Lasciviousness is another great word. Lasciviousness, the desire to remain complacent. The desire not to impose, I can see the spirit of conviction landing on certain people. The desire not to impose certain rules and regulations on yourself. We must listen to what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. It says, discipline yourself for the purposes of godliness. Do you know what godliness is? It means being like God. So discipline yourselves for the purposes of becoming like your heavenly Father. Isn't that great? Because, you see, in life, we can do really and truly. The Bible says all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. So we can live whatever way we like. Unless God exposes it. I mean, you could be a serial killer. You could be, you know, serial womanizer or a manizer or a petizer or, you know, whatever izers that there are. There's some izers out there. You understand what I mean? You know, you can live whatever way. So why don't you? Do you see what I mean? Now, there's certain things for the sake of the ministry call on your life, the destiny, etc., that is on your life that God himself will expose. And that's where the prophetic nature comes in. But there's others where you can live whatever way you like, sleep with who you like, you know, go out clubbing every Saturday and blah, blah. Pastor P, are you against clubbing? No, but like there's a thing called over-clubbing. Do you know what I mean? If you have to be there somehow to get some kind of like gratification or whatever, you know, something's wrong. That's just the way it is. You can live any way you choose in this life. All things are lawful. But the Bible says not all things are profitable. So we have to live in a way that profits us. Which way profits us? Well, the Holy Spirit tells us, discipline yourself for the purposes of godliness. Wow. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, this is a tough one. Yeah, you think about it. I just wrote a few things down. Where are they? Eating too much. Hey, mommy. The Bible says, I buffet my body, not I buffet my body. They're spelt the same way. Amen. Yes, it's a buffet thing. It's not a buffet thing, okay? It's where you put the accent, etc. Okay. Exercising too little. Drinking too much. The Bible says, you know, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So for me, you know, I'll drink a glass of wine. We had a chill out zone in Israel amongst that. We had some men's fellowship, etc. Absolutely no problem with that. None of us got drunk. Amen. But it's if you're drinking too much. Oh, I'm pulling some conviction down. Jesus, hallelujah. Yeah. What else? Screen time. Benji. screen time. How much screen time do we have? You know what screen time is? It might be Fortnite. It might be YouTube. It might be, what else? What? Netflix? Now, box sets. I mean, some people, like, they take delight in binging. You know what box binging is? Where you download a whole box set of stuff, and then you're there all day, and all you've had is pizza and chips. Like me and Benji yesterday during the Arsenal game. Hallelujah. But it was good. Praise God. Because it's not a regular occurrence. Thank Jesus. Reading too little. Whoop. Praying too little. Yeah. A prayerless person is what? A powerless person. If you lack power in your life, first place to plug in is prayer. That's just the way it is. Is any among you afflicted? The Holy Spirit says through James in the 5th chapter. Is any among you afflicted? Turn on Netflix. No, it doesn't say that. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. It's amazing what prayer can do. Are you getting something from this today? I pray that the bread of heaven will fill your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, this is the bit that hurts. Discipline hurts until you cross that bridge. And then suddenly it becomes part of your life. We as a leadership have been reading a book called Atomic Habits. It's a great book by a guy called James Clear. And every year as a leadership, we do a thing called Book of the Year, where it's like a training book for the purposes of getting us as leaders and getting Harvest to the next level. And this book, Atomic Habits, one of the things he says is that there's a thing called habit stacking. And I just love the idea of this. And it's the idea that you don't make massive improvements all at once, but you regulate your improvements. You might pray 1% more this year than last year. But what you do is you establish and then you hold that line of prayer. And then you set a goal again. Right, next year, I'm going to pray 1% more. Then, do you see what I mean? So by 10 years, you've got 10% more. And you're not up and down like the NASDAQ or whatever. You're in a proper line where you are just improving, just bit by bit. A little here, a little there. What does the Bible say? Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. It's amazing what God can do in your life with a little here and a little there. That's all it said. You just start at the beginning. You set yourself a goal. I'm going to save or invest 1% more this year than I did last year. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm going to give 1% more than I did last year. I'm going to exercise 1% more than, well, maybe 1%, you know, you might need to do a little bit more because, like, biology is against you. The clock is tick. Okay, we'll leave it there. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. So there's all those kind of things. Discipline, discipline, discipline. May the Lord give you a revelation of discipline. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, that's the bit that hurts. Praise God. Next one, verse number 26, really fast. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, keep your eyes on the prize. Yeah, there's something ahead, you see, that's called the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the kind of thing that keeps you from straying. Because what your eyes are upon, that's the destination that you're going to end up at. They even tell you this when you're training, when you're doing, because I did a defensive driving course in terms of how to avoid hijack and kidnap and all that kind of stuff when I worked for the bank. And they tell you that if you are going to, if it looks like you are going to collide with another vehicle, look away. Because where you're looking, you will eventually end up. So a lot of people, when they go into shock, their eyes go wide and they look at the car they're about to hit in front of them. But they teach you, train yourself, if you're in that situation, that you look to where there's a gap and focus on that. Your body will automatically steer the car towards that gap. Isn't that great? That might have saved your life today. How about that? Yeah, but you see, there is a spiritual principle there. The Bible says, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So the Lord Jesus is at the finish line. He's the one we're focusing on. The Bible calls anything that we go through, any of those hurdles that I mentioned earlier, even the death of a child, the Bible calls those things momentary light affliction. Now that puts it in perspective, in comparison to the weight of the glory that awaits us in Christ. Hallelujah. What you got to do? Keep your eyes on the prize. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you, you're going to keep your eyes on the prize from now on? You're going to put, you know, hassles that you get at work into perspective, stuff that you fight in your physical body into perspective, car things. You know, Mary, gosh, Mary has, how many crashes? Three crashes in the last 6 months. That's affliction. But according to Scripture, it's momentary light affliction. Thank God you walked away from them all. That's what they say. You know, any crash is a good crash if you can walk away from it. And praise God for his preservation on your life. Get a new car. Hallelujah. Leave that thing to someone else. But, you know, I know what that's like. I had a similar but, like, nowhere near as costly situation where suddenly all the cars in my house were breaking down. My wife's car got a puncture. My alternator went. They were quoting 1,100 quid for the alternator. I was bringing it back from garage to garage to garage to garage. And then something went wrong with Benji's car. The insurance was 1,700 something pound for, like, it's like, Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Why don't I just give DVLA a direct debit into my account and just say, help yourself, whatever you want to take, and I just get the bus everywhere. Do you know what I mean? It felt like that. And it feels like that when you're going through stuff. But when you look back, it's momentary light affliction. Why? You've left it. You're running with endurance the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Can you say amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to finish real fast right here. Verse number 27. Here it is. Here's that word. Will you put it in the New American for me, please? New American Standard. That's New American. They must have changed the wording. You know what? Make sure you keep a hard copy Bible, because I've been noticing this about the uploaded versions. They change the wording. Very subtle. That word there, discipline, in the New American Standard that I've got is actually buffet. B-U-F-F-E-T. Not buffet, buffet. Wouldn't it be nice if we buffet our body? Praise God. We are not allowed in the name of Jesus. Well, look what he says here. But I buffet, or I discipline my body and make it my slave. I make it my slave. I am not slave to my body. My body is slave to me. We get it the right way around. Can you say amen? I tell my body that it is healed in Jesus' mighty name. I push through to my healing. There's some things I've had to believe God for. For 5.5 years, I was training. I remember it, September 2010. I was training with the Arsenal charity team up in Watford, and we were going to play a charity match. In fact, some of you watched the match, and we got pasted 5-1. But anyway, we raised a lot of money for Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital, which was the goal. But I was training for that match, and there was a real keen guy. You ever play football with a keeno? It's horrible. I mean, my goodness me. He was so keen to get on the team, and there was no pressure, there was no hassle. And the guy went in for a challenge with me, flipped me over sideways. I did some sort of breakdancing maneuver where my elbow went into my ribs like that, cracked two of my ribs. I rolled over. I was winded for like half a minute. I couldn't even get, you know, my lung had collapsed as a result of the air going out. And I'm like sitting there. I'm going pale blue. And I went, and I could breathe again. I went home and I was so like just winded and so damaged by the whole experience. And I was like, the first thing that came out of my mouth, surely He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. The chastisement necessary for me to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. I command my physical body to line up with the word of the living God. I refuse to tolerate any symptom of this thing in Jesus' mighty name. I had to believe God because it popped out one of the, it was a bang. One of the, what do they call that jelly in between your vertebrae? What, a disc. It popped out one of my discs in the middle of my back. And for 6 years, I had to believe God for my healing. I don't care if it takes 6 or 600. I've got the time. Jesus has got the blood. I've got the inclination. Let's do it. That was my outlook on the thing. And I pushed through, and 6 years, 2016, every week in the gym with Junior, every week just pushing and pushing and pushing, realigning my body, commanding my body to get back into its position as my slave. And it happened. It was 6 years almost to the week that God did it. But I wouldn't care if it was 60. Why? I'm running with endurance the race. I refuse to stand still. I buffet my body and I make it my slave, and my slave is subject to the word of the living God. That, my friends, is that. Now, with determination like that, really and truly, it doesn't take long, and actually it doesn't matter how long it takes. Can you say amen? The end is in sight. Praise God. In Jesus' mighty name, I'm going to close there. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God for his word. Thank you, Father. Lord God, I thank you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you give everyone under the sound of my voice the determination and the resolve to break through. Whatever new beginning you have ordained for their lives, Heavenly Father, Lord God, in this year of new beginnings, Father, we declare that it is so in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is necessary, whatever is needed, Father, you said in your word that you've already equipped us to be those overcomers that you've called us to be. So in Jesus' mighty name, I command the seed of the next level to come alive. In this time, Lord God, where we're seeking your face, in this time, Lord God, where we are believing you for new and greater things to come about. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, let your word come alive in the lives of your people. For those of them, Father, under the sound of my voice, that are pushing into new areas, Lord, be it in business, be it in academia, be it in family or relationships or marriage, Father, be it in any area of life, Lord God, I pray that you give them that endurance to run to the end, that they would discipline themselves for the purpose of godliness, and that they would see that peaceful fruit of righteousness that is the end of their faith. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.